morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading from Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. The parable of the two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord.
After we've heard the passage read by Jean, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, we are grateful for this beautiful day that you've gifted us. Thank you for the opportunity to be together in worship. I pray that you will now speak to all of us, and if there's something that might hinder us from being open to receive your message, will your Spirit please take care of it? We thank you for your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, a group of military leaders back in the day succeeded in building a supercomputer. And this computer was able to solve any problem, okay? Large or small, strategic or tactical. And then these decorated generals with a galaxy of stars pinned to their lapels gathered in front of the new machine for a demonstration. And the engineer conducting the demonstration instructed the officers to feed a difficult tactical problem into it. And the military leaders proceeded to describe a hypothetical situation to the computer, and then they asked the pivotal question, attack or retreat? And the enormous supercomputer hummed away for an hour and then printed out its one-word answer, yes. So the generals looked at each other somewhat stunned and confused, and finally one of them submits a second request to the computer, yes, what? And instantly the computer responded, yes, sir. So, yes, yes, sir, or no, no, sir. Those of you who are parents, maybe your kids are out of the house already, or maybe you're finding yourself in the trenches of parenting a teenager still. But what would you say? What is the best route to getting that obedient yes from a child in response to a request? I mean, as parents, we give instructions to our kids all the time, don't we? Instructions that often seem arbitrary or even draconian to them. And we regularly force youngsters to do tasks that seem ridiculous to them. Dad, why do I have to do this? Because I say so. Or maybe you give them a detailed explanation as to why. Or maybe you're telling them, you'll thank me for this when you get older. Well, the fact is, children often doubt the wisdom of their parents' way. And what you end up with is a clash of wills. So what you hear from your indignant child or teenager is, no way. No way. So listen, if you're a parent and you can identify with what I just said, I just want you to know that I've been there as well, okay? And I'm praying for you. I too was a genius once that became the biggest idiot alive in the span of just a few years. So I know what you're going through. Fortunately, those who know more about this topic will tell you that for many children, rebellion is a natural, even a critical way of growing up. If children simply obey out of fear because they have to, then there's a chance that they will never learn to think for themselves. And if you're a helicopter parent, you know, if you constantly hover around your kids trying to protect them from mistakes, even long after they've left the house, then you need to know it'll do them no good either. Our children need the freedom to make their own choices. And that means they will make mistakes. They will not always choose wisely. They will underestimate the amount of time it takes to complete a task. They will listen to the wild ideas of their friends instead of paying attention to your cautions as a parent. They will put off important tasks until the last minute and then fly into a panic. But there are also kids who not only need structure, they actually thrive in a structure where boundaries are clearly marked. So there is more than one parenting style, okay? Which brings me to our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus tells a story about parenting. And in this story, he reveals the traits of the heavenly parent. Talks about our heavenly Father who has hopes, who has dreams and expectations for his earthly children. And yet at the same time, he also displays compassion and understanding. The father's expectations are clear. It says in verse 28, he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind, excuse me, and went. So the father says, "I want you to go work in the field," okay? And at first, the son refuses outright. He says, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to work in the field today." And yet, after some reflection, he thinks better of his rebellion and he goes to the vineyard. In spite of his initial resistance, he changes his mind and he obeys his father. The second son is more devious. It says the father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Puts on a good face and immediately agrees with his dad's request. "Sure, dad. Glad to do it." And his actions, however, do not match up with his words. He never goes. He ignores his father's wishes and never appears in the vineyard. And then Jesus asks the critical question, which of the two did the will of his father? Which one of the sons obeyed his father and did what the father wanted? The one who said no and then changed his mind, or the one who said yes, sure, dad, but never did it? Now, what we know of Jesus is that he has a forgiving heart. And because he has a forgiving heart, he's able to see the bigger picture. So it's not the first son's words that are important to Jesus. It's his actions. It seems like Jesus allows some room for complaining. He's okay with verbal resistance. And that's what the first son does. But then the first son, in spite of his original reluctance and show of rebellion, soon chooses obedience instead. He has a change of heart, and then he follows the will of his father. And he does the work his father calls him to do. The second son, however, only talks the good game. Promises much. Yeah, no problem, Father. I'll be there. But he doesn't actually do it. He produces nothing of value. And that's what Jesus points out to his listeners, the difference in their actions. The first son, like the tax collectors and the prostitutes, is headed toward God's kingdom. Why? Because even with their past mistakes and their sin, they have a change of heart, a change of their ways, and they have now chosen the right path. The scheming second son, like the chief priests and the elders, are not kingdom bound. Why? Because you can't simply talk the talk of faith and obedience. You must also walk the walk. Even if it means backtracking from a poorly chosen path and starting over down the narrow path toward life. So let me ask you, why do you say no to God? Why do I say no to God? What fuels our refusal of God? Is it because we are stubborn? Is it because we are rebellious? Is it because we are afraid that of where it might lead us? Is it because we are doubtful that he has the right path for us? Is it because we want to do something else instead? Is it because we think we know better? When God says to you, go work in the vineyard, go to church, go worship me with other believers, volunteer your services in ministry or leadership, go and visit your elderly neighbor and see if you can help her in any way. Work on that fundraiser at your local church. Forgive someone. Forgive someone who did you wrong. Treat those who disagree with your politics with dignity and love. Reconcile. Reconcile with that family member who is estranged from you. Is it yes or is it no? Why do we say no? Is it because we feel overworked, you know? Is it because we feel God is too demanding? No, let someone else do it this time. I've done so much already. I've already given so much. That's asking too much of me. I don't think I'm up for this challenge. So listen, if you've ever missed an important appointment God had for you, if you've ever doubted your ability to make a difference and decided not to even try, or if you are self-satisfied and assume that, you know, your contribution and effort is so good it's enough, then I have some good news for you today. The first son in the story clears the path for naysayers and those who are hesitant and unsure. Because you see, Jesus does not expect perfection. He does not require a perfect response in every situation in life. No, he invites those who follow him to learn from their mistakes. He encourages them to put their failings behind them and then choose to do the right thing. Because you see, in the end, this is a story of compassion. It is a story of forgiveness. It is good news for you if you can remember and recognize your moments of disobedience, those times when you ignored God's rules, those periods in your life when you made poor choices, when your actions didn't match your words. So what this story shows us is that the arms of Jesus are open wide. Your debt is paid. It's paid in full by the precious blood that your Jesus spilled. And now the curse of sin that has no hold on you, for whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. And what Jesus is saying to you today is this: if you have sinned, if you have fallen short of the glory of God, then I have a message of welcome for you. And I invite you to try again. What he's saying to you and me is this: your past blunders will not be counted against you when they're followed by a change of heart and a change of course. You will not be judged on your initial response. You will not be judged on your impulsive mistakes. You'll be judged on your final choices that lead you either closer to God or farther away from God. And what we see from the story in Matthew is that Jesus seems willing to look past the many weaknesses and failures in his followers. And then he invites them to put their earlier bad choices and disobedience behind them so that they can follow him. And the parent in the story is, of course, our compassionate and welcoming God. And he issues a clear directive as, and has confidence in our ability as his children to follow it. But then the father allows the children to make their own decisions on whether to obey his command or not. Yes or no. And we've all been there. And there have been times when it was easy to say, yes, yes, God, when he confronted us with the possibility of service. When he said, I want you to go work in the vineyard today. I want you to go work in the vineyard. But then for whatever reason, it was difficult for us to follow that yes with a corresponding obedience. And so maybe the lesson is, don't be afraid to say no. No, God, I can't do that. But then, be willing to have a change of heart. Because that is what God has always asked of us, to change. To have a change of heart. To even have a new heart and a right spirit. And so listen, God's merciful invitation to you and me is very clear. Jesus has unlocked the door to heaven. And God has left the porch light on to guide his wayward children home. And today he's calling you and me and he says, come home. And we simply need to say yes to God. And then offer our hands and our hearts and our spirit to God's service. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, forgive us for all the times when we say no. Forgive us for all the times when we say yes, but we don't follow through. Will your Spirit work in our lives to change our hearts, to turn us toward you and to make us more obedient and willing to follow your directions, to follow in the path of Jesus. This is our prayer this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.